You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. It's featured editor John Gentile. I'm here with M More. M More, what's happening? What's going on?
Seen some shows, which is always exciting to be able to talk about.
What shows did you see?
Saw Pogues in
How
Toronto
was that?
A couple weeks ago. They were awesome. They were really, really, really good. Everyone sounded really cool. They had a mixture of vocalists. Everyone was like super on it. It was a lot of fun. The crowd was wild too. There were like pits going on, and there was some very inebriated person who decided to plaster themselves to me, so I had to go away. But that was good because I got a better view of the stage anyways, and just incredible band. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it is
I
annoying
don't
when I'm
sorry
sorry, go ahead. It is
oh
annoying
just
when drunk people like just talk to you and they get too close and they like spit on you and they don't know they're spitting on you. You know, that's brutal. Brutal.
But yeah, it was anyway. That was something. The one thing though that like absolutely blew my mind is like we had James Farrenly on the podcast, and he's up there with like this giant ass accordion, and he's like lifting it over his head, and he's like playing it like nobody's business, and like just doing everything. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, how are you doing that? Because I looked it up, and it's like over 30 pounds. It's like, wow. Anyways,
that is pretty impressive. The accordion's
yeah.
a weird ass instrument. It's like who invented this wacky thing? You know what I mean?
I would like to know the origins. Yeah, like who thought it would be a great idea to
An
put
air
like it
powered
sounds
piano.
great, but
It's an air powered piano, you know, that you wear.
And it's heavy as anything.
And it's got like a million keys. It's got like 60 keys. A saxophone's got like 8.
Yeah, you can't see part of it really because like it's so big and it takes a lot of like effort to get it like doing the thing, you know, the bellows or whatever.
I'm not surprised by this. When do you think the accordion was invented? I'm actually not surprised by this.
Not surprised. Ooh, okay. So it must be later than I'm thinking. I'm gonna say the 1700s?
1971.
Oh,
No, I'm
shit.
kidding. 1822, which makes sense to me. So the accordion
Oh,
is a
sure.
relatively new instrument. 1822. That makes sense to me. You know, the steampunk era.
Yes. Yeah, they're like, what sounds can we produce that sound like the future?
And one of the commenters said, is it really the Pogues without Shane? And is it the Pogues without Shane?
Yeah, they were
Why?
a band and they toured without him while he was alive.
True. For many years,
Yeah,
actually. I agree.
for
I agree.
many years. They put on an incredible show. All of the vocalists are awesome. Spider does a really good job, too. Like, it's the Pogues. They did
The
a nice
Pogues.
tribute to Shane McGowan. Iona Zajac sang the parting glass. It was really, really nice. So yeah, 100% is the Pogues. You also have
Yeah.
3 Pogues there.
3 out of 9 Pogues. Well, we'll take what we can get. Unfortunately, a lot of the Pogues are dead, quite sadly.
Yeah.
What other shows do you see or do you have coming up?
Yeah. I also saw Dirty Nil in Peterborough, and I wrote about the Pogues too for the site, so please go read that. And please go read the Dirty Nil review too. That's up now. So both of them. I saw the Dirty Nil in Peterborough last week.
Peterborough.
You got to give it the sauce, you know? You got to really get in there. Bro. yeah, so that was cool. It was at the imaginatively named The Venue. That is where I had my prom. So it was kind of wild being back there.
Did you enjoy your prom?
Not really.
What did you do at your prom?
Parts were fun. Danced a bit, and like the inside just got really hot because it was, you know, the middle of summer and people were moving and stuff. So it's just way too hot, so I had to go and kind of sit out in the main area and then cool down and stuff. So yeah, it was okay. Getting dressed up was fun. But that was about it. The venue though itself for a concert venue is really, really nice. They have great bathrooms. They had free earplugs, which was really cool. I had my own, but it's nice when venues have that. And like the actual area, like there's kind of a sunken sort of pit. So you either go down some stairs or go down a ramp and you're on the floor. You're very close to the stage. The stage is very tall, but like you're close to it. You have a lot of room to move. And then all around, on the kind of up the stairs are seating areas. So you can like fit that are facing the stage so you can sit and enjoy and stuff. There's also couches at the back of the pit area. If you need to take a break or if you want to sit, you can do that, which is really cool. It's a really good like dance floor area and the sound is great. The sound was incredible. So Spite House opened. They are from Montreal. The lead singer is also in Seed Toss, I believe. So
Say talk. I know say talk. No, I don't. I'm just being an asshole. I'm sorry. I'm go ahead.
it sounds funny. So like it's good. So Spite House do like emo-y post-hardcore kind of stuff. Very good. They released their album Desertion earlier this year and they released their self-titled in 2023, I believe. They played Pooza earlier this year and they were on my list to go see, but shit happened and I wasn't able to make it there. So it was nice to be able to see them. Great energy, lots of like this was something with all of the bands, but when they do like those jumps on stage where they just get like really high, it's like, how do you do that? I can't jump that high. How are you jumping that high? What muscle in your leg is doing that? Are you like part kangaroo? Like, what is happening here? It's just so cool.
So you're like, what's that? You're like, what's all that happening now here,
Must be a kangaroo, innit?
eh? Hey, I think I'm gonna be a really annoying host today. Just before episode 700, one last. Go ahead. I'm
It's
sorry.
the it's all the excitement building. So you have so many cool guests.
We do. We've got a lot of cool guests for 700. 700 is in the pipeline. I mean, it's gonna be a real slam banger. We've got a lot of guests loaded up. It might be a total disaster, and a lot of people. Some people aren't going to show just because of the number of people that we have, and that's just how it's going to be, bro. That's how it's going to have to be. So yeah, brah,
Bra.
right, Mighty? That's right, John.
But yeah, back to the show. Heart Attack Man were the second opener. They were really, really good. Fake Blood came out in 2019 and it was one of my pandemic records. They didn't play Rats in a Bucket, but that's my favorite song off of it. They were really fun and funny. Everyone just like wasn't really, really, really good. It was funny because at one point, the lead singer Eric was like, "Hey, Peter Bro, you're all my Peter Bros," and everyone groaned, and it was
Oh,
so
jolly
funny.
good.
Well, I mean, there was laughs. I laughed because I thought it was clever. And then the Dirty Nil, fucking just nuts. They are a band you have to like experience. They are so good. They're really good recorded, like don't get me wrong, but them live is like next level. They had their new bassist for this run, Anthony from Perfect Strangers, which is a Brampton rock band. He was really good. The chemistry was definitely there. Yeah. I think this was the fourth or fifth time I've seen them. And
Blimey.
they get better each time. So go see them because they rule. And the Lash songs are really good live. So it was a lot of fun. And everyone was very respectful. I almost got the set list. I almost got the set list. It was coming right at me. And then the person beside me had very long arms.
You sock them?
Excuse me, I didn't.
You should have. You're like, listen to him, mate. I'm the biggest fan of his. Give me that set list. Right?
Throwing down on a Thursday night in Peterborough.
Well, so since we're talking about any other shows coming up or any shows that you've been to, Em?
Ooh, anything coming up? I don't remember if I talked about it on the podcast or not, but this was the second show that I saw in Peterborough earlier this year, like way earlier, like back in April. I saw Cross Dog with
Cross Dog, you say?
Pomegranate. Cross Dog.
I've been such an asshole this episode. I'm the worst.
It's kind of like, I guess a cross dog in England would be like a bulldog, like a really pissed off looking bulldog. Anyway, so
that was a joke. Oh, jolly good, jolly good. Oh,
oh yeah. Hilarious. When you have to give it a minute to marinate.
I'm just being an asshole. I'm just being a total asshole this episode. Get used to it.
That needs to be the title.
I'm being an asshole.
Unless
get used
it gets
to it.
Flagged. Yeah.
I'll do that. That works, yeah. Jolly good.
With Pomegranate and Midnight Crawl at a place called Faculty. It was the first time I'd been there too. It was a very small venue, very sweaty. That is one of the sweatiest shows. It's the second sweatiest show because Pup unseated them for sweatiest. But it was really cool at one point. Like Tracy, the lead singer of Crossdog, like got up on the bar and was like getting everyone. Yeah, it was so cool and just awesome. So it was really nice to see them live earlier this year too. For stuff coming up, I'm not sure what I have coming up. It was going to be the Sex Pistols with Frank Carter.
Canceled it is.
Canceled. Yep. Yeah, because wrist surgery. Truth. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I have to double check because I'm not sure. What about you? Any shows recently? Shows coming up? Fun shit?
I am on a rampage right now, and I'm just going to vamp for 1 second because I am buying records while we speak. There you go. I just bought.
What are you buying?
I'm on this mailing list where there's this dude. I'll say his name. There's just this guy Don, who's an older guy. He's the man, and he goes around buying records. And then I'm on like a mailing list, and like it's like a lottery. He gets like killer records, and then you like send him your want list of the recent batch, and then he apportions them out in a fair manner. But he's got like this really weird system. Like the way he determines who gets what, it's very impartial, but it's also extremely like complex. And then when he counts up how much you owe him, instead of just doing like 5, 10, 50, I call it Don math. Like he makes piles of different records and then adds the different piles together. Anyway, Don's the man. If anyone out there knows Don, Don is the man. I mean, Don's the man. You know who he looks a lot like? He looks a lot like David Crosby, actually.
Oh,
Don's the man. Anyways, so
that's the best.
On yes. Friday, I saw At Night, who are, of course, playing the Dan Bird Show on October 18 in Philly. Also, they were awesome. Also, there was that band, I don't even know they were playing, Rotary Club, who are a new-ish band that are like kind of like arty punk. They were cool. There was also a magician between the bands, and she was pretty good. But she actually had some really good tricks, but she had a lot of like talking between the tricks that didn't seem to go anywhere. So I would like to book her for one of my shows, but I think she needs a punchier act. Like really, she could just boil her 20-minute act down into like 7 minutes and it'd be killer. You know what I mean?
Ooh, okay.
So that was Friday. Saturday, my friend and I drove out to Hershey, PA to see Slayer. The Cavalier, well actually Exodus opened, then Cavalier Conspiracy, did all of Sepultura. Not Earth AD, Chaos AD, and that was pretty cool. Then was Suicidal Tendencies, I think, who, you know, I mean, people love Suicidal Tendencies. I like that first record a lot, but Suicidal Tendencies Live is a very different band than that first record, where they play, like, all their mid-90s thrash stuff, and I'm just not that into it. I mean, people there liked it, I guess. I'm just not into Suicidal Tendencies as a thrash band, which that's what they are now. that also played was Riley Gale, who passed away. What's his band?
Power Trip.
Power Trip played, and they were cool. I mean, people liked them, and I liked them, but I'm not a huge Power Trip fan because to me, Power Trip is just kind of the best parts of mid-80s thrash put together, but there's not a whole lot that's like brand new about them. And you can even like identify like what songs this song is based on. After that was this band Knocked Loose, who weren't what I thought they were at all. Do you know Knocked Loose? They're like, yes, huge.
They are.
What's your take on them?
I really like the song they did with Poppy.
Really?
I really like that one, but I don't really like anything else.
I was not impressed by Knocked Loose, and I'm not sure. Like they're a huge band, and basically they're like screamo. They say they're metalcore, but they're really more like screamo. And every song to me was like chug, 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 yeah, chug, 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 yeah, and like I was. the crowd was somewhat into it, but I don't know if they were into it because they were told to be into it or they were actually into it. Like I've heard this band 10 years ago. I heard this band 15 years ago. And I'm like, so why is this band the one that is like getting like massive attention? And after the show, I went to check out some reviews and I thought like the band would be trashed by like all what I would call the notable music magazines. They all like love this band. And I'm like, are they all just buying the hype? This metalcore band existed 10, 15 years ago, or screamo band. I really just don't get why this band is like so considered great. I mean, I really just was not impressed at all. I mean, really, it seemed kind of whiny to me, but that's just me. After that, Slayer played. Slayer did an extended set, and actually, it was a pretty daring set. It was quite different than other sets from, you know, a few years ago, and they played stuff from across their catalog. They played a lot of newer stuff in the front half and older stuff on the back half. And I got to say, man, like it was one of the best times I've ever seen Slayer. For once, Tom Araya seemed like he was into it. Although I definitely think Tom Araya and Kerry King hate each other because they were so far apart from each other on the stage the entire time, you know. The crowd was not the crowd from Slayer 98. It was not a nonstop brawl. It was honestly, it was like older dudes that it made me feel good because they were older than me. You know, I'm like, oh, I feel good. You know, and basically older dudes just like kind of standing there, like enjoying it. And the crowd did enjoy it. And I'll try not to make this too long, but Slayer played a bunch of they played 20 songs, but usually they only played 15 or 16. And they sounded really, really good. The song section was really, really good. And it was just awesome. Slayer was great. That was Saturday. Sunday, I drove out to Lancaster to see Catbite. It was Rodeo Boys. Not Half Past Two. Flying Raccoon Suit and Catbite.
Oh, nice.
Rodeo Boys was cool. Flying Raccoon Suit was pretty cool. Well, they were real cool, too. Catbite is absolutely on fire. I mean, they are really at the top of their game right now. And I think they're only going to go up game-wise. But, Catbite is an astoundingly good band. That was probably one of the best sets I've seen all year. They were amazing. They were absolutely on fire in the middle of Nowhereville. Not even Lancaster. Millersville, which is near Lancaster, if anybody knows where that is. Kind of out in the middle of nowhere where all the Amish people live, if you don't know what that. And if you don't know what an Amish person is because you're not from America, I don't know what to tell you. So anyways, but this was kind of funny. This venue is in the middle of nowhere. Like, I literally drove through 20 cornfields to get there, right? It's in the middle of, well, not 20, 10 to 15. It's in the middle of nowhere, right? So I pull up to the venue to park, sure. And the guy's like, $5. I'm like, I'm not paying to park in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, I'll just go park on the street. I said to the guy, I'll just go park on the street. I was a little bit of a dick about it. Like, not a huge dick, just a tiny. I was 3% dickish about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just go park on the street, then I'll be back. So I go out into the street, and literally every single street is permit parking only, even though there's no cars parked anywhere, you know? And I'm like, well, is anyone really checking these back streets at like 11 p.m. on a Sunday in Millersville? And then I said to myself, well, you know, like, do I really want to risk getting towed for $5? You know, I'm like, So I drove around for like 15 minutes. Literally every single street is permit parking only, even though they're all wide open. And I'm like, is this really how this town wants to present itself to people coming from outside the town. So I drive back into the parking lot, and I was actually kind of mad and annoyed and a little embarrassed. And I'm like, I'll say to him, "Fine, you hustled me," or "Fine, you shook me down." But I'm like, "John, you're being kind of a dick. I mean, this guy working here doesn't decide the $5. It's the owner, you know." So I pulled up. I'm like, "Man, like everything's permit parking here. Here's your $5." And he was cool about it. I think he realized the position I was in, so he was cool. You know, I'm like, "Oh man." So anyway, sure. Catbite was on fire. Then Monday, I stayed home. Tuesday, I went and saw Morrissey. Which was yesterday. Morrissey did the show after he had a couple shows canceled due to death threats, and he was super good.
Yes.
He did a bunch of Smith songs. He did some new stuff, and actually he didn't do as much new stuff or as unreleased stuff as he has been, and I kind of wish he did, because his new stuff is actually phenomenal and it's better than a lot of his mid-90s stuff. But it was cool. The funny thing about going to see Morrissey is I've got every Smith's album. I've got every Morrissey's album. I've got every Smith's CD. No, I'm sorry. I've got every Morrissey CD single. I've got every Smith's 12-inch single / EP, right? I've got a lot of Smith and Morrissey records, right? And between level 1 to 10, what level of a fan do you think I am compared to the other people there of Morrissey? Between 1 to 10. 10 being the ultimate fan, 1 being like a newbie.
Oh, I'm going to say 10.
No, I'm like a 3. Like
seriously?
Like, Morrissey fans are the most intense fans I've ever seen, ever, even compared to Slayer 98. Oh. They treat him like he's a god. Like, what's funny is at Morrissey's concert, and in some days this might annoy me, but I was in a really good mood, so it didn't annoy me, is a lot of people were doing that thing like you used to see in Christian. I don't know if you would know what this is or not, but in like Christian rock music videos in the 80s, they would show people like closing their eyes and like holding up their hands and like swaying. Oh, yeah. People were like doing that. And I'm like, oh my God. You know? So,
okay. Wow.
Morrissey did the thing where he tears off a shirt and throws it into the audience, not once, but twice.
Does he just have two shirts on?
No, he tore off his shirt, went backstage, put on another shirt, and then came back and then tore that one off and threw that one into the audience too.
Oh my God.
For a while he was doing this thing where he was like signing David Bowie and Iggy Pop records and selling them for, you know, with his signature on them, which I really wanted to buy one. He only had records signed by Morrissey. Like he had Morrissey's greatest hits, Viva Hate, I think, and Morrissey Live, Beethoven Was Deaf, signed by Morrissey. Guess how much he was charging for those, Em?
I'm going to say $100 each.
250 bones each.
Ooh, yikes.
Did I buy one, Em?
Yeah.
No, I did not. I'm actually against paying money for signatures. Like Morrissey's just a person. He's not a god. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to pay money for his signature. I would have spent $75 for like the Iggy Pop one or the Bowie one, just because it's so weird and funny and clever, you know? But I'm not going to pay. So the record is like a $30 record. So I'm not going to pay $220 for Morrissey's signature, but you know, it was touched by Morrissey, you know, like anyways, he was awesome. It was a great show. I know he's a controversial figure, but actually, and going off our Instagram, he's way less controversial than he used to be. You know what I mean? Like my Punk News Instagram post of the Morrissey show got a lot of likes and only one negative comment. Whereas 3 or 4 years ago, it would have been mostly negative comments. So maybe people just want to enjoy. Maybe it's because Morrissey shut his yap lately, you know, about certain things. And maybe people, and now that we got Trump in office, who was a real enemy. Maybe people really aren't so worried about Morrissey anymore. And I'm glad, man. Like I want Morrissey to come back. I kind of want him to ease back off some of the wacky shit he said, but I mean, he sounded good. He whined about things, you know, he's funny, but he whined about stuff on stage. But it was a great show. And I was like 3 rows back or 4 rows back. It was kind of crazy. Tomorrow night, I'm going to go see the Dwarves in New Hope. Then if I can muster on Friday, I'm going to go see Alice Cooper and Judas Priest, which I definitely would go to, but it's like a 2-hour drive. And frankly, I think I might not make it, even though I want to go. Then on Saturday, I'm seeing Dead Milkmen for Free. And then I finally get a quote break, a break from my rigorous schedule. So, oof.
Oof.
So, and this is, if I go to all those shows, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows in 8 days. Wow.
That's a good set of shows.
Honestly, frankly, it's too much. Like, at least for me, when it's that many shows, you don't enjoy them all as much as you would where they spaced out more, you know?
Okay. Interesting. It's just like it's like you're in festival mode.
Well, I want to see all these bands live, but I mean, and it is kind of, I mean, like, I've seen the Dead Milkmen like 6 or 7 times. So if I didn't go, I'd be sad, but I wouldn't be devastated. But on the other hand, they're right in town is the Dead Milkmen. I've seen Morrissey now 5 times, so I probably could have skipped this show. But I bought all these tickets a while ago, not realizing they were all going to be the same time. I mean, Catbite,
Oh,
I'm certainly glad I
yeah.
went to Catbite. I'm certainly glad I went to Slayer because Slayer plays now like once every 5 years, and they were awesome. But yeah, it is a bit much for me, that many shows in that short of a time period. So, anyways, that's that. Let's hit some news, Em.
News.
So let's see here. Not a whole lot of news this week, which is good. So we're going to be kind of short on the actual news, and then we're going to have episode 700 next week. Right now, I'm like this is. Facebook like changed their way they sort things, listeners. So I was about to pull up our stories and they're all like missing. So give me a second here because Facebook sucks. Here we go. I found it.
Boo.
All right. Yeah. Facebook. Screw you, Facebook. Descendants are re-releasing I Don't Want to Grow Up. Hot on the heat. I mean, I honestly, well, first of all, that someone online said that I jump around too much and I don't have a great voice for quote radio or whatever.
Oh my God.
They say I interrupt you too much, Em. And frankly, all of those things are probably somewhat valid, honestly, to a degree. So I'm going to work on not skipping around as much, having a little bit better diction. I think my main thing is I skip around a lot, and I felt that made the conversation, but maybe it does make it hard to follow along. And also, sometimes when I listen back to some of the episodes, it actually is literally hard to hear just because of the way I talk and the way that gets transmitted digitally. So I'm going to try to have better diction starting now. Anyways. The Descendants
Okay.
are re-releasing I Don't Want to Grow Up. That's on Org Music, and the record is back from SST, who now has no Descendants material on their website. This follows very quickly of the re-release of Milo's Goes to College, which I reviewed at Pug News and gave a 10 out of 10. Excellent reissue. I actually did pick out some minor quibbles, such as it doesn't have bonus fat on it, but that's a real minor quibble. And the CD itself, the CD packaging is very cheap, but the material itself is great. And so I'm pleased to see that Org is being very proactive and is trucking along getting these things reissued. From a sheer financial standpoint, I wonder if reissuing it this soon in succession can kind of burn people out. I don't know, frankly. If you look at the Circle Jerks, they've been doing a reissue like what, once every 6 months or even once a year, where Descendants are doing like one a month. So I don't know what a better strategy is. I Don't Want to Grow Up is not the favorite record of a lot of Descendants fans, although it is the favorite of some Descendants fans, which just goes to show that aside from Milo and maybe aside from Cool to Be You, the Descendants catalog, as heralded as it is not necessarily agreed upon. Like pretty much everybody agrees which Clash albums are the best and which are not the best. Pretty much everybody agrees which, Sex album is the best, Sex Pistols album is the best. Pretty much
Yes.
everybody agrees which Ramones albums are better than the other ones, but the Descendants aren't quite as universal. So, anyways, I have the Milo Goes to College reissue in my hand right now. Org did an excellent job. They did as good as a job as anybody can do. It sounds great. The vinyl. It sounds great. It looks great. It's nice quality pressing. The art is good. The sound is good. I guess my only quibble is they did a straight reissue instead of making it deluxe, and that it doesn't really come with liner notes or anything. Although I Don't Want to Grow Up is coming with new liner notes.
Ooh.
I think I would have liked some extra bonus stuff because why not? I mean, that doesn't detract from the record. I only get annoyed when sometimes they put on bonus tracks that don't really fit on the album, and it kind of throws the end of the album off, which they didn't do here. So I think I would have liked more bonus material. But that being said, who cares? I mean, the bonus material, you look at it once and you forget about it, so it's not that big of a deal. But I will say the Milo Goes to College reissue is great. Everyone should get it. Everyone should get it. It's great. And I think and that's kind of where my fandom of the Descendants ends, is Milo Goes to College. I don't really love the stuff after that, but because Org is
Oh,
doing
sure.
such a nice job, I think I'm going to order at least the CD version of I Don't Want to Grow Up, and maybe I'm going to reevaluate my fandom of the Descendants post Milo. So anyway, Em, are you a Descendants fan? Are you excited for the second record? Do you know about this record, or is this one? See, I don't even. I've heard this record like maybe once, so I don't even really know this record, to tell you the truth. I mean, I know it, but I haven't really listened to it a whole bunch of times. So I'm kind of interested to dive into it and see how I feel about it now, bro.
Bro.
My.
Yeah.
Mighty.
Ahoy. Yes, I enjoy The Descendants. I think they are good and fun. The first full album I listened to was While I Go to College. But
Ever? Oh, you mean the
the
first Descendants album or ever?
first Descendants album, yeah. But the first single I heard was Silly Girl, which is off of I Don't Want to Grow Up. So that was really interesting. I enjoy the album. I think it's good. I don't think it's like their number one album, but I definitely think it deserves to be talked about and dove into more and kind of explored. I really like the album art for it too, with Baby Milo. I think it's fun. So I think it'll be exciting to listen to. I want to listen to the other reissue, the one you wrote about too, and see how different it sounds.
Milo Goes to College. Well, see, it's tough to tell because I did have an original
Yeah.
Milo Goes to College, but I sold it because it's like a $300 record, and like I like it, I don't like it that much. So
Oof, yeah.
I only have the SST reissues to compare to it, which sound like dog shit. Even the
Yeah.
SST CDs don't sound that good. So compared to the SST reissues, the new version actually sounds quite a bit different. It's much crisper, much louder, and sounds a lot different. So.
Oh, sure.
And tell us about Janiac Jr.
Yeah. So, Janiac Jr. are a band out of Toronto. I interviewed the singer Jay earlier this year for Punk News, and they released another EP. So they released an EP in May called Flower Mouth, and they released an EP a couple weeks ago, I guess a week ago actually now, called Girl Foe. So they released a video for the title track, and like the video or the song features trumpet from Mall Doll, who is in Filthy Radicals and was also in Wise Guys. Wise Guys is sadly no longer a band. They were awesome. If you want to hear some really great trumpet infused punk, go listen to their debut and only EP, which is out. I think it's Kick the Nest or Kick the Hive. It's Kick the Hive. So, yeah. So anyway, she's in the video and on the song, and she's also featured on Undead Friends, which is another track off of the EP. So the video's cool. It's like performance video, and then they get like soaked with rain and they're all playing in the rain, and it looks really, really neat. The song I was kind of surprised about, it's a lot more like vulnerable than their other songs. I think it's very good. And near the end, there's a part where their guitar player, Chelsea, just fucking shreds. And it's so cool. So, yeah, they're an interesting band coming out of Toronto. They're doing lots of different things with genres, really playing around with them. And yeah, I think they're very, very interesting band. What did you make of it, John?
I was kind of surprised by the sound. The sound almost is like I don't know how to describe it. It's like sort of World Inferno-esque, sort
Yeah.
of Cake-esque, and they didn't sound like what I thought they would sound like at all. So, interesting band. Speaking of interesting bands, Crazy in the Brains have released a new single. It's called Disgusting. It's out on Hellcat Records. Hellcat Records. It's produced by Tim Armstrong. Crazy in the Brains, I think, released one other Tim Armstrong produced track, and they've been releasing a ton of singles recently. And so I don't know if anybody knows what the next step is going to be, but they've been working with Tim and have recorded a bunch of tracks or some tracks with him. And the video is kind of a really interesting kind of a video's got like a nurse and like a guy in a business suit like sitting in like this weird what's his name? Quentin Tarantino type room, and that's got kind of the band like rocking and then getting involved with those people. So it's kind of abstract and kind of cool. And listen, man, I'm excited. This track is actually punker than I thought it was going to be. A lot of the recent Crazy in the Brain stuff has been kind of leaning a little bit towards pop, or alt rock or indie rock, and this is much more punk. So I'm excited. I think this is cool. We'll see if anything else grows out of this. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. It's not what I thought it was going to sound like either.
And actually, you know what?
I liked it though.
The traditional Tim Armstrong sound sort of isn't there. You know what I mean? Like the Tim Armstrong Hellcat record sound is not totally prevalent like it is with other acts.
It's, yeah, like more of who Crazy and the Brains are shines through rather than the kind of paint of the production.
I wonder why that is. Isn't that, I didn't really think about that, but I wonder why that is.
Maybe they had more like collaboration on it.
Maybe. We'll see. Anyways, Ticketmaster's getting sued again for like the, did we talk about this last weekend or do we not?
We did not talk about this. Okay, last week.
Yeah. So Ticketmaster's getting sued for like the 117th time. It's not going to hurt them at all. They don't give a shit. The FTC has filed a lawsuit against Ticketmaster for directly dumping a bunch of tickets in a ticket into third party retailers at a profit for themselves. Also for doing bait and switch pricing where they say it's going to be XYZ dollars, but it's actually more than that. And also for charging people 44% service fees on tickets, which is ridiculous because think about this, Em.
Yes.
Not only do they get a 44% fee on the ticket, they get a cut of the actual ticket price itself. They own the venue. The artist has to pay them to use the venue. They get a cut of the merch. They get all the food and drink sales. They get all the parking sales. Like, it is absolutely absurd, Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster has collected about $16 billion in fees alone in the last 5 years. And I'll point out that the FTC said the Ticketmaster charges as much as 44% of a ticket fee. But when I went to Sting and Shaggy, they charged me 85%. It was a $20 ticket that was $37 after fees. You know, Live Nation owns 80% of the major venues in the United States, which is insane. I mean, I don't know how many times Ticketmaster and Live Nation have been sued for this exact thing or for being a monopoly. And either they're settles or I remember when they got sued, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, everyone got a $2 rebate off select shows. And those select shows were shitty ones that they couldn't sell out anyways, like Travis Tritt, some country guy, I forget which guy it was. It's like, thanks, I get $2 off, you know, Brooks and Dunn. Thanks, Ticketmaster. Thanks. Like, what a joke. So I would love for Ticketmaster to get busted up here, but it's not going to happen. What do you think is going to happen? Will this be the downfall of Ticketmaster, Em?
I don't think it will. I really hope it will, but I don't think so. I think we have a ways to go. Also, did you see the thing where the Live Nation CEO said that concert tickets are underpriced?
Yes, I actually wanted to do an article and then I didn't get around to it, but I still might. I mean, so what was the quote exact? I didn't read the article totally. What did the article say?
Let me pull it up. But anyway, like, just fuck this guy. Well,
asshole. Company. Asshole. You know what I mean? Like, read the room. But why should he have to read the room, man? I mean, he wins every time. So why should he have to read the room? He should just do whatever the hell he wants.
Okay, are you ready for the full quote?
Hit me.
Music has been underappreciated, he said via Rolling Stone. In sports, I joke that it's a badge of honor to spend $70,000 for a Knicks courtside seat. They beat me up if we charge $800 for Beyonce. We have a lot of runway left. So when you read about ticket prices going up, the average concert price is still $72. Try going to a Laker game for that, and there's 80 of them. The concert is underpriced and has been for a long time.
What an asshole.
That is gross.
He's so tone deaf. He's like bragging that he pays $70,000 for Lakers tickets. Like, he's bragging about that. What an asshole.
Yeah. Who has $70,000 to just like throw away?
Well, Ticketmaster, when you're making billions of dollars on, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, true. Yeah. He can go. What an asshole. I really hope it does get broken up somehow. And there's something comes of all of this.
Well,
you know?
Well, why the Senate and House are Republican controlled, it won't, you know. And while Citizens United is in effect, which means corporations can donate as much as they want to individual candidates, which is insane.
Ew.
It's never going to happen, you know, because they're too deep in the pockets of the politicians. And as messed up as this is, if you saw what happens with medicine, if you saw what happened with nursing home, it's so much worse. So much worse. I mean, the fact of the matter is this sucks, but you don't need tickets to live, you know? Medicine is so much worse than this, you know? Anyways.
No, 100%.
And there's no alternative. Like if you were check this out, Em. Philadelphia is a pretty big city. Let's see what number.
Sure.
Let's see here. Philadelphia city ranking as to population. Give me a second here.
Okay.
Here we go. Philadelphia is the sixth largest city in the United States, Em. Sixth largest, right? How many venues, Em, in Philadelphia that are above 250 capacity are not owned by Ticketmaster?
Two.
Zero.
Yikes.
Zero.
Oh, no.
Not good. Live Nation, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the sixth biggest city. That's not some podunk town that's got like one venue. There are dozens of venue in Philadelphia. Dozens. Hundreds. Maybe over 100 if you include all the small ones. But as the ones that are bigger than 250 people, which at Ticketmaster scale is nothing. Nothing. Zero. And Ticketmaster is a monopoly. If it is a monopoly, we need to bring back FDR. I'm sorry, TR. Teddy Roosevelt, the trust buster, to smash it up. I love how Republicans are always like, TR, he was the real deal. It's like, yeah, he hated monopolies. Ah, where's TR when you need him, man? He's been dead 100 years. That's where he's at.
Well, he can still come back and like possess somebody.
That'd be cool, man. That'd be cool.
You know, and then awesome. He can make change.
We need Teddy. Teddy, where we need you. So anyway, I hate Ticketmaster. And you don't even get a physical ticket anymore. And also, like, well, I'm just bitching, but like, even StubHub tickets aren't cheap anymore. Like, even if something's not really sold out, tickets still are not cheap on StubHub because they even regulate that. I hate ticket. I've said this before. It's actively perverse that I, as a consumer, was more protected by the guy hanging out in front of the venue, going, need tickets, who only would charge me twice the price of a ticket, as opposed to Ticketmaster that will happily charge me 1,000 or 2,000 times the price of a ticket. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
That's insane, isn't it? That's insane.
It really, really is.
Well, here's something else
that's just insane. Wild.
Somebody made a death threat on Morrissey. He had to cancel two shows.
Yeah.
And then he played Philadelphia. Now he's back. The person that made the death threat has been arrested. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. How do we treat this one? You know?
Did you see the name that the person who did the death threat was going under on social media?
No. What was it?
It was guy who gets shot in the head 1,000 times a day.
Ugh.
Yeah. The thing that I find nuts about this story is the death threat was for the Ottawa.
He's Canadian, show. Em. He's Canadian. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I mean, people say shit all the time.
But he's Italian. That good. Sucks. He's making his Italian look bad. What a prick. So now we're both under fire, Em. He's Canadian and Italian. That's a problem.
That's not okay.
Oh, but they're not Italian. I forgot. I'm English. Right, mate?
The accent is back.
So, Em, what do we take from this? First of all, does Morrissey deserve a death threat, Em?
I think very few people deserve a death threat, if any people deserve a death threat.
The answer is no. Morrissey does not deserve a death threat. Morrissey has never said anybody should get killed. Morrissey does not deserve a death threat.
No, that's what I was saying.
Do you think the death threat is A, because the guy's just insane? B, do you think it's because Morrissey has said some whacked out stuff and the guy's mad at him because of it? Or C, do you think it's because Morrissey has such a cult of personality like Jodie Foster or like any number of other super famous people? Do you think that because he's so... I won't use the word enigmatic, but that's the wrong word. Because he has people gravitate towards whatever they think he is so much, they're too in love with him, and that's what caused that. What do you think caused the death threat?
I think what caused the death threat was somebody who had a lot of... I think it was one of two things. I think it was somebody who had a lot of anger around
cancellations of his shows?
Maybe. Yeah, he's cost me so much money over the years. Or, something like that, and just kind of was like, oh, I'm gonna kill Morrissey. Or the second thing, I don't, it might have been a joke. Again, death threats are never funny. Don't make death threats as jokes, but like, that's the only other thing I can think of, because like the handle on social media points to either I'm trying to be funny by being really edgy, or I need serious help. Do you know what I mean? So I think those would be the two motivations. The one thing I do think is really interesting is this was for the Ottawa show. He didn't cancel the Ottawa show. He played the Ottawa show and then he canceled two US shows.
But he played Philadelphia.
What do you think it was? Why do you think the threat was uttered?
I think the guy's an insane fan. Like he loves Morrissey, but he's also insane, and that's why he did that.
Sure.
We probably won't know. So, anyways, do you think Morrissey likes that there was a death threat on him and that he can garner that reaction? Or do you think he's like skeeved out?
I think he is like proud of it, yet disturbed.
I actually might argue that he's kind of disturbed because, like I've had a couple of actually, I've had like a lot of death threats sent to me, some which none that I thought were actually like super genuine, but some that
Oh,
came from
sure.
genuinely unhinged person, and it's not a good feeling, you know?
No,
So
of course.
I think he's bummed out. As much as it might be funny to say that he likes it, I think he's bummed out by it, you know?
Sure. Yeah,
Although I will
never a
say,
good feeling.
you know, he did a thing where he like hugged the audience and you know, like touched people. Like people touch Morrissey like he's Jesus. Like they're like, let me touch your hand, Morrissey. And they touch his hand like faint. But he did do that. He interacted with the crowd. So,
Oh, good.
anyways, Morrissey's back. AM, is this the beginning of the Morrissey redemption? It might be. It might be.
Could easily be the album that he's been working on for whatever, like 20 years might be coming out.
It better come out, man. Like those new tunes are great. Anyways, Em, anything else we should talk about tonight?
What else is in the news? Let's see. Let's see. Oh, I didn't do that. Do that in a minute.
Well, Hanson and
Let's
Stephen
see.
Egerton of Descendants did Hope, as did Blink-182 and Stephen Egerton, both at Riot Fest. And which do you pick? The Blink-182 with Stephen Egerton or the Hanson with Stephen Egerton?
I am going to say the Blink-182.
No way, Hanson. Hanson is so much cooler than Blink-182. I mean, Hanson, like I'm not a fan, but Hanson is so cool in that they had when they were like nine, that they were like a one-hit wonder, and where any number of other people would just like go away forever or like, you know, stop doing music long after they've been actually famous, they kept writing music as brothers and they never really broke up and they're having fun doing music. So I actually have a lot of respect for Hanson in that like it's easy to keep playing music when no one cares about you because you haven't lost anything. It's kind of hard to keep playing music when you're a one-hit wonder and then that all goes away. And Hanson said, we're just going to keep being Hanson and do our thing. Whereas Blink-182 are just a bunch of spoiled rich boys that, you know, make shitty music that is not good. I have no idea why they're considered good. So I have way more respect for Hanson than Blink-182. And I definitely back the Hanson. And I would even consider going to see Hanson. I would definitely go see Hanson
Oh.
if like a member of Black Flag or the Descendants jumped up and did a couple songs with them, namely Keith Morris or whatever. So, anyways, I give Hanson way more props than Blink-182.
Are they touring soon?
You know, I have no idea.
Oh,
Check this out. And did you know, but Hanson actually does have a fan base. They actually put out a
oh.
couple of CDs before their first big album. Those CDs sell for hundreds of dollars online. Like, people love collecting those rare Hanson CDs.
I did not know they were that big. That's very cool.
Who do you think a Hanson fan is in 2025?
All I know is the one song.
If you went to a Hanson show, who would be there? They're playing Atlantic City in October, and I could go to that.
Oh, wow.
Bop, dee, wop, dee, doo. Yeah, bop.
My initial thing would be a lot of people like who are going to see them out of nostalgia and they're taking their kids.
Can you support a career off that? Maybe.
Maybe. People love nostalgia. Like a lot. I would say probably. But again, like if you say they have a really dedicated fan base, they're going to have a really dedicated fan base that
That's
is
true.
not nostalgia based.
Like
I don't know.
they clear like the question is, M, does Hanson, like, let's use Hall & Oates as an example. Most
Okay.
people know Hall & Oates from their hits, right?
Of
However,
course.
Hall & Oates definitely have fans that like are into like their records from the 90s, into the records from, like, there's definitely a fan base that follows along with what Hall & Oates. I mean, I realize they're broken up now, but they whatever they like whatever they put out in like 2010, there are fans that are like, oh man, I can't wait for the new Hall & Oates album, and genuinely enjoy it. The way you and I would check out, you know, I don't know, a Homefront album. But that's not a great example because they're still a new band. The way you and I might check out a Descendants album. You know what I mean? Like
Sure.
you and I are definitely interested in the new Descendants album, you know. Are there people
Yes.
that are interested in the new Hanson album? Like, oh, I can't wait for Hanson's new album.
I would have to say yes, but I really don't know how many, like, it, this doesn't matter because numbers, right? But I want to know how many followers they have on social media.
And how many albums do you think Hanson has? Go ahead and guess.
I'm going, so you said they've kept making music, so I'm gonna say 10.
Nineteen.
Oh my God, that is a lot.
And actually, well, going off Discogs, it seems like people aren't really collecting the records so much. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
So how many followers, so we'll look up how many followers Hanson has, and then we'll wrap this episode up. Let's
They
see
have
here.
522K.
That's pretty good. That's
Yeah,
pretty
it's
good.
very high. It's good.
Let's see how many the Bouncing Souls has. We'll compare it that way.
Sure.
Because I know how big the Bouncing Souls are. Bouncing Souls only have 100,000. So Hanson's five times bigger than Bouncing Souls. So there you go.
Nice. Good for Hanson.
Let's compare him to Scow. 153,000. Hanson's bigger than Scow. Let's compare him to one more band. What's a bit? How about Green Day?
Knocked
Let's go.
loose.
All right, Knock Loose. Great example. We'll do Knock Loose and then Green Day.
Sounds good.
Knock Loose. How many followers does Hanson have?
Let me pull her back up here. 522K.
Hanson more popular than Knock Loose. Knock Loose
Nice.
492,000, and I'm glad
Oh,
to hear that.
they're up there.
Let's do Green Day. I think Green Day is going to win that one, right, Em?
I think Green Day's gonna win that one.
Green Day 7.2 million. So there you go, pretty
Oh,
good.
that's very high.
But that, even not that, that's not that high. Like, let's look up what's her name?
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, well, Taylor Swift's like the absolute king or queen. No, I'm thinking of Cardi B. Let's see what Cardi B has. 163 million. Cardi B has 20 times Green Day.
That is amazing.
But that's not necessarily truly representative because Cardi B's fan base is going to be younger. So they'll be more likely to follow someone on Instagram than Green Day's fan base, which is young people to middle-aged people. You know what I mean?
True.
So anyway,
Yeah, you can't really tell much.
I think Cardi B's bigger than Green Day, but I don't think she's 20 times bigger, frankly.
Yeah.
Let's look up Taylor, and then we'll look up Bieber because Bieber's even bigger. Taylor's got 282 million, and let's look at Justin Bieber, and then we'll wrap this on up.
Sure.
293 million, so the same as Taylor. No,
Oh.
yeah. Oh, now on Instagram he's Lil Bieber now. He's not Justin Bieber anymore. He's Lil Bieber.
What does that mean?
I don't know. And who would you rather see? Lil Beeper or Hanson?
Hanson.
Who would you rather see? Hanson or Cardi B?
Cardi B.
Who would you rather see? Cardi B or Blink 182?
Cardi B.
Who would you rather see? Cardi B or Green Day?
Green Day.
Would you rather see, oh, last one, Green Day or My Chemical Romance?
My Chemical Romance.
There you go. There's one of My Chemical Romance with the winner. We will see you next week at episode 700. Any closing words for them, Em?
Buckle up, because it's going to be a great one. We are going to surpass 3 hours at least.
That's right, matey. See you then.